you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hi, this is Kim Jong. Your country no good to make friend. Why turn off the internet? I was trying to watch interview on the YouTube.
And this is Vladimir Putin. What's happening for oil prices? Not so good for ruble. I'm hoping I don't find out you guys is involved.
Maybe you need go PrepperRecon.com, check it out, supply store, in case somebody turn off your internet.
Or could be turning off your electricity. These things happen.
They have a so good everyday carry concealed carry sling with patches more cool than a Dennis Rodman.
And having MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits with IBD, chest seal, quick clot, tourniquet, EMT shears, and much more. Even when I don't wear a shirt, I having IFAC from Prepper Recon with me.
So, go to PrepperRecon.com and click Store tab on the top of the home page.
While you still can.
Today's guest is Fabian Calvo of The Fabian Calvo Show. Fabian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to have you on. You always got great insight to bring to us. So now, despite the permabull rhetoric we've heard out of the financial channels, Halliburton just had to lay off 6,500 people. Do you think employment and underemployment maybe is going to continue to be an issue in 2015?
Well, no question about it. I mean, you know, the actions, for example, of the Federal Reserve directly affect the middle class. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we'll continue to see underemployment, and they have to do a lot with, you know, robots taking jobs, automation, globalization, outsourcing, and that's a trend that's not going to go away. So, you know, I read an interesting report. I think it was the London Guardian. That talked about how 60% of all jobs that will be around in 10 years do not exist today. So that's a major, major shock that's going to be sent to pretty much, you know, to pretty much, I'd say, half, if not more, of the working population in the United States and in most developed countries.
And now, besides oil services, Halliburton's also a big defense contractor. They pulled in nearly $40 billion of taxpayer money just in Iraq. Do you think another war could get those folks back to work? I mean, we could just print the money to pay for all of it, right?
Yeah, I think that for sure the military-industrial complex has various different hotspots that we've seen where they would love to have a greater regional war. One of those is, of course, against ISIS, a group that has been pretty much financed and radicalized by the West. And now they're trying to come in and basically say, well, we're the good guys and we're going to, you know, handle ISIS. Also in Ukraine, you know, we've seen a lot of different U.S. politicians and policymakers and basically come out and say, we want to send troops over there. Now, there's been a reported brokeraged peace deal between that the Germans helped facilitate. And so hopefully that doesn't happen. But yes, I mean, you know, I think I've heard it before. I forgot who said it, is that the business of America has become war. And it really has been. And it's how the Fed and it's how the big banks are able to continue to keep the wheels greased and keep the cheap money flowing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like to say that a lot of folks will say that the dollar's not backed by gold anymore and it's just a fiat currency and it's not backed by anything. And I say, well, I think it's backed by lead.
No doubt. I mean, and you know, that's a really interesting point, Mark. I mean, technically, you know, there's no commodity backing it, but it is backed currently by the U.S. military. And that's a trait that every world reserve currency has had. I mean, if we go back and we look at England, who had the world reserve currency for a couple hundred years, you know, they had the biggest, most powerful navy in the world. So they can back it up. Today, the U.S. can back it up. I mean, we have a very strong military. There's no question about it. In spite of Obama purging the military and getting rid of top military brass, that was I think wanted to uphold their duty to serve and protect the Constitution of the United States. But with that said, you know, not everything lasts forever. And we live in a world today where it's not so much about tanks and bombs and bullets. You know, there's cyber warfare and there's all kinds of other things that can be used in the war today in a kind of warfare tactical sense.
Yeah, and Obama just announced today that he's got a bill to help deal with veteran suicides, which, you know, it's something like 22, 23 vets a day are killing themselves from the after effects of PTSD. And I'm hoping that maybe this bill will just, you know, not get us involved in so many foreign wars where we really don't have any in business. Maybe that would be a great way to deal with veteran suicides.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you know, it's interesting you say that because I saw recently the American Sniper movie, and I couldn't, throughout the whole entire movie, I couldn't help not say to myself, all of this could have been avoided. And all the PST, all these troops, and same thing with Afghanistan. And, you know, what the good thing that I find in that, if any good could come from it, is, for example, my brother-in-law who served three tours in Iraq, you know, he routinely will tell me, and he stayed close to people in the military and all the other guys that are out now, and he's routinely told me, Mark, that all of them know that they were lied to. They wouldn't have gone if circumstances repeated themselves. And I think, you know, there is that kind of awakening that, unfortunately, the men and women in the U.S. military, which, you know, I put it all on the line to defend America, aren't necessarily defending America. It's not like we're being invaded here. Instead, what they're doing is that they are defending the interests of big Wall Street banks throughout, you know, by being in places like the Middle East.
And I think that if I was an 18-year-old kid right now wanting to serve my country, I think I'd be very, very hard pressed to go sign up for the military. And I think that for folks that have that in their heart and that's what they want to do, I think that maybe another good option for them that they can consider is constitutional militias, which, you know, are how the Constitution prescribed for us to defend our borders here.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'll say in thinking about that, you know, I think that I posted a video about the American Sniper, like I said previously, and there were a lot of people that were bashing people that serve in the military. I actually think that they're going to be kind of the first in line when the tyrannical system really gets out of control to help usher in a new constitutional government. Now, let me just be clear. I hope that doesn't go that way, Mark. But who knows now? I mean, this illegitimate government we have today has become so incredibly, not just tyrannical, but just so incredibly brazen with the grabbing of our liberties almost now on a daily basis. I think militias, you know, the ranks will likely be filled by a lot of, you know, returning vets. It's one of the reasons why we've seen, and the videos are all over the internet, local police and, you know, the Department of Homeland Security openly talking about how returning vets are potential domestic terrorists.
Now, the Obama administration was sort of toying with the idea of sending some arms to the Ukraine. Do you think that would have been a good way to spend some money that we could never pay back and stick our nose where it doesn't belong? And are there some new developments in Ukraine right now?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that it's really interesting to see how Obama how basically Putin beat Obama and beat a lot of the Western powers that wanted to try to bully Russia into basically not exercising any influence over Eastern Ukraine, an area that pretty much identifies with Russia. And also the fact that we as many of your listeners know, Mark, we had George Soros and others like him fund this coup in Ukraine to install basically a Western puppet government. Now, of course, Russia is upset about that. And of course, they're going to try to defend their national interest. I mean, America would do the same thing and does the same exact thing. So what's interesting now with this peace deal, if it goes through, it appears that it's going to, and it starts on Sunday, is that the Germans and the French brokered it, and Putin, in essence, gets to continue to control, for lack of a better word. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to: Eastern Ukraine and all the mining and all the natural gas that's in that region. That's one of the big reasons this was being fought. It was really definitely a resource war. And pretty much the West, acknowledging, I think, Putin was right. And I think what's going to soon follow is that these same countries are going to drop all their sanctions against Russia. So at the end, Russia annexed Crimea. They've now pretty much exercised their influence over eastern Ukraine. And they pretty much have won. And I think that's a big win for them because it shows the weakening. And I don't like this as being an American, but it's just the truth. And it's been the bundled foreign policy for the last 20 years, how America's influence around the world is being diminished.
Yeah. Now, to switch gears for a second, unlike monetary policy, the mainstream media has been doing a really good job of covering Brian Williams. Now, since they're doing such a good job on that, I don't want to spend too much time there, but I have to ask you, do you think he was caught up in a culture that's dedicated to misinformation? We know from former CIA director William Colby's testimony in the 1975 Church hearings that the CIA actively manipulates the media. It dates back to Project Mockingbird, which began in the 1950s. So they've had 65 years to perfect the art of misinformation, right?
No question about it. And this, I'm glad you mentioned Operation Mockingbird, because it is – I mean, we see it through films like American Sniper. We see it all the time on TV, mainstream shows, what have you. And we also see it, of course, in print media as well. That doesn't – I remember when the whole Ukraine thing, going back to that, was going on. No one – not New York Times, LA Times, no one was talking about how basically, this was a staged coup by the West, and no one was approaching it from the objective point of, if this went down in Mexico, the U.S. would have acted just like Russia acted. And so it's also just twisted facts, twisted logics. We know that the current White House has a lot of influence over the media, as did the Bush administration. And, unfortunately, Mark, the new media is shows like yours and people on the internet. And I think that's definitely going to continue to grow until unless they shut down the internet.
Sure. And they could do that if they wanted to, because that they certainly censor it in China, and it wouldn't. They've got the technology to censor anything they want. Whenever, so it's important to get the message out to as many people as possible while we still can, while we have that little bit of freedom left. And we've certainly heard some rumors out of the Obama administration as well that they're looking to put the clamps down on the internet. Now, I want to switch over to economics, because you're just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to macroeconomic issues. So we definitely want to get you to weigh in on some of this. Now, we've seen some drastic swings in the currency markets in the past few months. The ruble's been up 30% in one day. The ruble was down 30% in one day. The Swiss franc was up 30% in one day. And it's nothing to see a 5% swing in either direction in the oil or silver market in a day. Is all of this instability due to money printing to fund the warfare and the welfare state?
Without a doubt. I mean, really, actually, the money printing, for example, we're seeing from the European Central Bank, from the Bank of Japan, it's kind of like this revolving door, right? So the Fed claims they've stopped the money printing. They really haven't, but they've masked it pretty well. So that's why we see the dollar going up, because we also see the euro going down, the Japanese on, I think, QE number 9. The Fed will start up QE again. They have absolutely no choice, because the economy will completely collapse if they don't continue to stimulate it. That's just – I believe that 100%. It's that end of the road. So basically, there will be a big financial leg down. It's not the end of financial markets, but it's going to be a bigger crash, I believe, than the one that we saw in 2008. So that's kind of their really last last that's the only thing remaining in their toolkit, if you will, is to continue to print money now globally. And I believe they're all working on this together.
It's a little bit like a relay race where one guy will run a certain leg of the course and then hand the stick to the next guy, and the Fed hands it off to the ECB and they'll run with it for a little while, and then they can hand it off to the Japanese central bank.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and then the Japanese central bank will be, you know, printing money like the ECB. They'll use that to buy treasuries in the United States. And to continue to fund the, as you said, the welfare and the warfare state. You know, take, for example, the ECB and these European countries that are in essence bankrupt, that have a if you add in their unfunded liabilities and their debt, like the United States, you know, they're in the hole by 200% plus of GDP. It's completely unsustainable. So they need the access to the cheap money to basically continue to fund these retirements and these promises and the military escapades that we see happening around the world. But, you know, Mark, it's pretty obvious. All things come to an end. This can't last forever. And you know, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see over the next couple of years some pretty big changes globally with the financial markets.
What do you expect out of real estate for 2015?
I think real estate will continue to see appreciation. Continue to see double-digit appreciation in markets like Los Angeles and New York. Across the country, you know, it kind of depends. It's really become a regional thing. But I think – I mean, it's always been regional. But some markets like in the South are still really affected from just what's happened in 2008. Still a lot of distressed real estate out there. But overall, I think we're going to continue to see we'll probably see real estate up 5 to 10% this year. I'm convinced that they – and they're already doing this. You know, Fannie Mae's is basically FHA's making loans for 3% down, and you could really kind of get around that where you could buy something with no money down. And again, you know, this is kind of a symptom of a market that's on the last heels, where the Fed, the central banks, the big banks on Wall Street, they get that in order to fuel the economy, what they need to do is in essence give out free money to people that wouldn't otherwise qualify for it, so that they could go and buy homes and everything else that comes along with buying a home, as an attempt to have economic growth. But that's not really growth. That's just manipulation.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
Now, you've been talking about a global reset for a while. We've got quite a few people calling for it to come around this year. Any thoughts on timing?
You know, I don't think it's going to happen this year, and I don't think it's going to happen this year because of the coordinated efforts of the central banks. Like we said earlier, Bank of Japan, European Central Bank, they're all printing money. They're using that to using some of that to buy U.S. treasuries. So and the Fed is still backdoor printing money as well. They're just doing a pretty better job at hiding it, or a good job at hiding it. So no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think eventually that reset happens when you see larger economies like the Chinese economy primarily. And you see this already with the BRIC nations, for example. But I'm talking about a bigger union formed, where you see other countries come together. For now, the BRICS is the best example, and they directly propose an alternative currency, an alternative world reserve currency. I think that's what would send shockwaves, and that's what would usher in the real reset. Instead of just, I think, waiting for the Fed to print itself out, you know, out of existence, which will ultimately happen. But I think the Chinese and I think the BRIC nations see the handwritings on the wall. They know it's going to be really painful, though. I mean, when the reset happens, it's not going to be painful for the U.S. It's going to be painful for everybody. And I think, you know, to a certain degree, they're all kind of getting ready for it now.
And then you're saying that you don't expect it to come this year, but would that be with the caveat that we don't have any unforeseen black swans? And if so, are there any particular black swans that are on your radar that you're sort of watching?
You know, I'd say that probably the biggest black swan, it would be some kind of cyber attack that takes place. You know, these are becoming more and more possible in the world that we live in today. They could definitely, it's something that could be used by the U.S. government itself against us. You know, some kind of false flag event. So yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility that we can see that in the next year.
And especially with our brand of making friends and influencing people, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, we've got lots of threats from instability. Can you give our listeners a few action steps to protect themselves from the coming reset?
I think one of the biggest things to protect yourself from the biggest reset is, A, you know, if you have assets, try to not have them all in dollar-denominated assets. So either foreign currencies, foreign real estate, things like that. The reset does not mean the end of the U.S. economy. It certainly doesn't mean the end of business or anything like that. Because of the different automation and robot stuff that I was talking about, which will be part of the reset, I think that becoming either an entrepreneur or a or someone who can add value, an expert in something, getting a trade job, plumbers, electricians will do well. I think that's how people need to start thinking. I mean, the way the world's worked, at least in America for the last 10 to 20 years, is going to radically change. And so it's time to prepare for that now. So it's above, really, Mark, I think, you know, food storage, gold, and guns, of which I have all the above. But I think it's more so of how can I create a lifestyle where I'm self-reliant. And I think – and I'd not only add to the self-reliance part, I'd add financially independent, where regardless of – my job, or if I can't get a job or whatever, I can still have income to pay the bills. I think that's very, very important.
And then do you have any tips for what we can do to keep our heads above water or actually maybe prosper on the other side of the reset?
You know, I think that if it depends on the sophistication of people listening. What I mean by that is that, you know, if people have traded stock options, for example, I mean, you know, having stock options that go up when the Dow Jones goes down isn't a bad idea. You know, you look at Russia and the ruble taking the big hit, buying Russian currency. So I think one of the things, you know, I'd add to that, Mark, would be getting a financial education, knowing what's really going on. And, you know, for example, the asset class that I like is real estate, and I'll keep buying real estate and selling it, you know, both now and both before and after the downfall of the market. But the bottom line is that, you know, I think people need to work on getting a financial education, know what's really going on and you know, get out of just I work for, you know, 40 hours a week and then I, you know, make some money and I go spend it, because those are the ones that are going to get hurt the most.
Because if we have another downturn, we're most likely going to see even higher unemployment levels. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
And if you're able to sustain yourself on your own business, then you know, you can always scale it down or do whatever you have to do to cut costs. But if it's your business, nobody can fire you but you. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Now, you talk about all of this stuff on the Fabian Calvo Show. Where can folks go to hear that and keep learning?
Yeah, so they can go on iTunes. They can find the Fabian Calvo app. They could also on my YouTube channel, FabianForLiberty.com. All my videos from my YouTube channel are posted at FabianForLiberty.com, and that's where they can get more information you know, basically my updates on economics, entrepreneurship, geopolitics.
And your book is on Amazon, and what is it?
Yep, The Global Economic Reset is the title. You can just search under Fabian Calvo, and it'll come right up.
All right, and you have links to that also on your website?
Yes, I do.
Fabian, it's always a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
You bet, Mark. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for having me on.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, American Exit Strategy by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Bear face the challenges of Main Street during a full-scale financial meltdown. Government borrowing and monetary creation have reached their limits. When funds are no longer available for government programs, widespread civil unrest erupts across the country, Matt and Karen are forced to move to a more remote location, and their level of preparedness is revealed as being much less adequate than they believed prior to the crisis. American Exit Strategy uses survival fiction to take an in-depth look at the real-life politics and economics behind the issues that are likely to trigger a currency collapse. American Exit Strategy. Buy your copy in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.